Good morning. So yeah, we're continuing our series in Proverbs and we're looking at speech. And I can't tell you how difficult this one really has been. It's been so hard this week to put it together. I mean, try and understand the frustration and difficulty here when you're trying to do a sermon about speech and every proverb you come to says, don't talk very much. It's really, really difficult. I've been tempted this week to actually just get up and read these proverbs to you and then just sit down. Because honestly, you know, I've been so challenged by what has been said in here. And it's just, I don't know what I can add to it. I don't know if it even needs explanation. It's just pure wisdom from God's heart. But yeah, well, we'll see what happens. So we're looking at speech today, and speech is incredibly important. Words are incredibly important, incredibly powerful. I have to do quite a few assemblies, and often I get asked to talk about speech and words. And so I have this standard illustration that I always use. So I go in with a shoebox, and inside the shoebox is something. And I go to everyone, okay, I've got inside this shoebox something that is so powerful that it has started pretty much every war that has ever happened. But inside is also the same thing, has the ability and has ended pretty much every single war. Okay, and then they sort of think for a second. I say, okay, now in here is something that has the power to utterly destroy a person, but equally has the power to inspire them to greatness. Again, they kind of look around for a little bit. Okay, and finally, in here is something so powerful that it can change a nation for good or for bad. And then I get them to, I ask them, what do you think's in the box? And I've had a Bible. I'm like, well, yes, good guess. I'm from a church. It's pretty safe, but no, you're wrong. A cross? No, good guess again. Well done. But no, not a cross. Jesus? How do we fit Jesus in a shoebox? And the worst one was a hand grenade. Yes, I brought a hand grenade into school for you. No, and then so they never get it. So I stand at the front and then hopefully quite close to some of them. Open up the shoebox and inside is a cow's tongue, okay? Which, if you've ever seen, they're massive and they stink. And so there's various sort of retching and sort of, like this. And the vegan head teacher did not look impressed. But I then pointed out the tongue. The tongue is something incredibly powerful. Words are incredibly powerful. And each of us have actually been given the honour, the responsibility of being able to speak. And words are massively powerful because they can penetrate into the very heart of people, into the very heart of us, and change the very nature of who we are if we allow them to. And they're also very powerful because they spread. You know, here today, we're actually looking at words said by somebody thousands of years ago, thousands of miles away. Words have spread and stood the test of time. They're incredibly powerful, but they are weak in other ways. You know, words are weak in the sense that they can't actually compel people to do anything. They can't compel a reaction. You know, I had the honour this summer of actually speaking at a summer camp, and it was wonderful and horrible and great and scary all at the same time. And after one of the particular talks, a young person came up to me and said, "That was really good, thank you." And I felt very encouraged, but as they walked away, I didn't say this, but I desperately wanted to say, it's only any good if it actually did anything. If it was just words, it was a waste of time. You know, so words have their weakness. They can't compel, they can't, you know, if we don't allow them to, they can't compel us to action. And words are weak in that they're not actions. You know, I read this great quote this week. When all is said and done, there's a lot more said than done. And I was like, that, you know, that is a challenge for us as church, that we can speak and speak about God's love, but actually we have to show it as well. So words have their weaknesses and they have their powers, and words are massive. Speech is incredibly important to God. If we turn to Proverbs 6. There's so many I've got to go through. It's so confusing. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. Of the seven things that the Lord detests, three of them are about speech. A lying tongue, a false witness, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. This is an important aspect for God. This is incredibly important for us. To be who God wants us to be, we need to get a handle on our speech. And Proverbs is full of advice and wisdom about how we should speak. So what we're going to look at today, we're going to have to breeze through it quite quickly because there's just so much. We're going to look at what we should say, or rather, Proverbs has a lot to say about what we don't say, how we should speak, when we should speak, who we should be as listeners, and why we should speak. So let's start off by looking at what we should say, or rather, Proverbs has a lot to say about what we shouldn't say. If we go to Proverbs 10:18. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Proverbs 10:10. He who winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. One of the things I love about Proverbs, one of the things I love about the Bible, is that it just screams to me that God is a realist. That he knows that if he's bringing a group of people together, then at the heart of it, unfortunately, is going to be things like slander and gossip. And so he gives us advice. He gives us a warning. Those who, a chattering fool comes to ruin. Chattering fool comes up again and again. And it's clear that God is saying gossip is the province of fools. At Soul Survivor this year, we had it was all about relationships, the teaching. And we had a moment where we had a couple of young people come to us and talk about how they thought it'd be great, wonderful. And they felt almost called to create a community amongst us as a youth group that is deep, where relationships are not something surface. So when you say, how are you? You don't expect the response, oh, I'm fine. You actually genuinely mean, how are you? You know, this kind of deep honesty amongst each other. And part of me was great, and we had a chat about it, all of us together, and we kind of said to each other, yes, we want to create a community like that. But part of me was sad because I was like, but shouldn't we already be a community like that? That's what the church should be, surely, isn't it? A place where we can come and we can be honest and open. We can share anything, because anything dark and horrible and hard that we find should be brought into the light amongst us, that the power might be taken away from it, that we could be honest and vulnerable with each other. But in a community like that, there is no place for gossip. Because how can you honestly share what you're struggling with if you think the person next to you is going to spread it around everyone else? What shouldn't we say? We should not gossip. And sometimes, no, I won't go to that. We aren't particularly great at this, I don't think. But we can be better. So what else should we say? What else shouldn't we say? Proverbs 4:24. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. I don't know what else to say. This is just wisdom. This is just right here. And all I can say this morning is all I can do is just tell you how this has affected me and hope and pray that somehow God uses that to help and change you as well. So I took this verse this week and I read it and thought to myself, right, okay, I'm going to think back in the week. What have I said? And has perversity been on my lips? Has corrupt talk been on my tongue? And so I sat there thinking, what do I consider perverse? What do I consider corrupt? And I thought back to the week and I thought, oh, actually, I've not been too bad. For once, I've actually not been too bad. And then I took a moment, but I thought, hang on, what does God consider perverse? What does God consider corrupt talk? Didn't do too well on that one. So we aren't to gossip, we're to keep perversity from our lips. If we turn to Proverbs 12:14, we get a little bit more of a positive one. Well, in theory. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands reward him. And here we see again the power of words. The idea that actually as actions, as we do good things are done and we see them and it comes back to us. In the same way when we say good things, sometimes that comes back to us. But when I read this, I was reminded of a passage in Mark 7 where the Pharisees are talking to Jesus and they're asking why his disciples don't wash in the way that they expect them to. Why they don't keep the sort of cleanliness rules that the Pharisees expect. And Jesus begins to talk of what makes us clean and unclean. And he says, it's not what goes into your body that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your body that makes you unclean. It's the words of your mouth that make you unclean. Not the words themselves, but the words, the fruits of our lips. They say a heck of a lot about our heart and where we're at. Again, I'm going to talk about Soul Survivor briefly. We had a moment at Soul Survivor. I remember it vividly. We sat round in the camp. It was bright sunshine. The wind was blowing a little bit. And then some blessed person had decided to bring drums to a campsite. Just what you need at a campsite. Drums. And then we hear a guitar. Yay! And so I didn't really notice this to begin with, and one of our young people pointed this out. And they pointed this out because they know how I feel about these things. And so I went off on a bit of a rant. Partly, I'd like to get this out there, partly because it makes them laugh, all right? But then halfway through, I can't even remember which person it was, said, you really are grumpy, aren't you? And I was like, no, I'm not really. I just, like, you know, I'm just messing around. And then they started listing off all the things I'd moaned about in the time we've been there. And I was forced to stop and think, hang on, if the fruit of my mouth truly is the state of my heart, then unfortunately I'm incredibly intolerant. You know, I'm very impatient. You know, I'm very angry and I get frustrated very easily. And actually, if those are the things coming out of my mouth, what does that say about what's inside? And I'm not saying that we should bottle this stuff up. I'm not saying that, you know, if you've got these things going on inside, you should just kind of bottle it up and repress it. Not at all. But it's about who do you say it to? Do you really have to let it out your mouth? Or can you just bring it to God? He will listen. You know, I had a moment this week where I was frustrated again at somebody. Nobody here. There's a youth worker somewhere else. And I was like, who do I talk to about this? I was like, I don't want to be the person that does this all the time. So who do I talk to about this? So I took a moment to talk to God. And as I was sort of sharing this stuff with God, it just hit me how petty I was being. And how actually the thing that I was frustrated with, probably a heck of a lot of you are frustrated about the same thing with me. So it was great. It was horrible, but great. But I really think that there's something here in Proverbs where it says the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things. I think, honestly, it's the same. If we fill our lips, our mouths with bad things, with moaning, with annoyance, then that's how we feel on the inside. The more we let good things come out, the more space we make for kindness and words of life and love, the more we're experience of that in ourselves. So that's kind of a little bit of what we need to move on. That's what we should say and what we shouldn't say. A little bit of what Proverbs has to say. There's tons more. So let's move on to how. How should we speak? So chapter 12, verse 25. An anxious heart weighs down a man, but a kind word cheers him up. We're to speak kindly. As the people of God, this should be one of the hallmarks of what we are. Is when people speak to us, they experience kindness in our words, especially when they're weighed down, especially when they're finding stuff difficult, that we are there with words that are given kindly and out of kindness. And again, I took a moment to think, how many kind words have I said in the last week? And came up far shorter than I would have liked. Chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We're to be people who speak kindly, and we're to be people who speak gently. You know, I think there's something really here about how we reach out to others, and it's about speaking gently. After the Hope stuff we did, we had an alpha course, a youth alpha course, over at Junction Church, and I was sat chatting to a young person who was quite clear he was an atheist, and we sat there sort of having a chat, and we just got to a point where we kind of reached an impasse where we weren't really listening to each other, and so I said, look, I could spend all day here trying to convince you that Jesus is King, that Jesus is God, that he died for your sins. And you could spend all day trying to convince me that he doesn't exist. I'm never going to change my opinion, and I don't think you're going to change yours. But do you know what? What would be really nice right now is, why don't you tell me what you believe? And then I'll tell you what I believe. And that gentleness, that kind of just no confrontation, no I'm pushing my agenda on you, but actually just I want to share with you. That gentleness, he went, yeah, that sounds good. You know, I don't know where he's at right now. You know, I'd love to tell you that he then decided that Jesus was his saviour, but I don't know yet at the moment. But that gentleness opened the door that declaring the truth strongly wouldn't have done. I declared the truth strongly in what I shared, but it was in gentleness. We'd speak kindly and gently. Proverbs 16, verse 13. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. We're to speak honestly. We're to be people who speak in honesty and with honesty, because it pleases our king. But actually, if you think about this situation, Solomon is writing this. Solomon, who is a king. Can you imagine just around him, he's surrounded by yes men. People who just go, yes, whatever you say. Yes, you're right, just because they want to be blessed by him. How valuable is a man that's willing to go, no, actually, I think you're wrong. We're to be a people who are honest with one another. And I really value people in my life who are honest. And that honesty always comes, you know, really to its fore when people are willing to say, honestly, Chris, you're being an idiot. You know, I had a moment not too long ago that some of you may even have seen and not known the full story. And I sat down there, and it was just before the Hope stuff all started. And I don't know if you remember, but we had a video that we watched for the Hope stuff again and again and again. I can't believe I actually didn't think I was grumpy. And I was sat down there, and it started playing again, and I just went, oh, not again. At which point, Joff got up from there, came and sat next to me and went, behave. And he was right. He was right, and I'm so glad I've got a friend that will be honest and go, you're being an idiot. Because so many people would have sat there and gone, oh, for goodness sake, he's at it again. But just left me to my idiocy. But Joff was willing to come over and tell me I was being stupid. You know, that honesty amongst each other is so important. Not that we now go around and start telling everyone they're idiots. We've got to remember that we speak kindly, we speak gently, and why we speak, we're coming up to, why is of the utmost importance. But again, how often, if I look back at the week and I think, have I spoken kindly, gently, and honestly to people? Not as much as I wish I had. So let's look at who. We've done what, we've done how. Let's look at who. And who we speak to, you know, obviously, we want to speak to everyone. We want to tell everyone about Jesus. We want to speak to so many people about the life he has given us. So who is a weird question there. But better to look at is, who are we as listeners? Who do we want to be as listeners? If we turn to chapter 9, verse 9 to 11. No, 9 to 12, sorry. We get a picture of two people, two characters. The wise and the fool, or the mocker, which sounds like a drink. Anyway, we've got the wise and the mocker, or the wise and the fool. And here we find who we are, who we can be as listeners. You know, when I was preparing this, I was struggling with it, and Lauren sent me a text, and she knew I was struggling with it, and she said, "You know, when it comes to speaking, why are we given two ears and one mouth? Because we should listen twice as much as we should speak." I love that little thought, but it's this bit here. We can choose who we are as listeners. Verse 7. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. You got a choice of how you listen to people. You can listen, and when they try and help you, when they try and tell you something, when they try and tell you you're being an idiot, you can either listen to them like the fool and insult them, or take it and walk away and then go, do you know what so-and-so said to me? Or you can take it. You can weigh it up. You can test it, approve it. And if it's right, add it to your learning. It's our choice who we are. It's our choice how we receive those things. And it's our choice to react however we choose, to be a wise man or a fool. So who are you going to be as a listener? You know, if today some of the things I'm saying are challenging and I'm rebuking, then are you going to accept it and insult me, or are you going to accept it and think about it? It's your choice. So when... We've done what, we've done how, we've done who, let's look at when. You know what? Proverbs has a heck of a lot to say about when we should speak. I'm going to rattle through them quite quickly, but do you know what? The one that comes up more and more, or time and time again, is when to speak, is rarely. You see how awkward it is trying to do a sermon when you're told to speak rarely and prudently. So when do we speak? Chapter 18, verse 13. We speak, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. We're to speak after we've listened. I don't know how good we are as a nation, as a society, at actually listening. I actually thought about my conversations with people, and I thought, how often am I actually expecting what they're going to say next rather than just listening? How often am I actually thinking about what I'm going to say next rather than listening to what they've got to say? I don't think we're particularly good, but a wise man, people of God, we should be those that listen. 13:3. I'm not going to check it. 13:3. Next one. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Again, we speak after we've listened and after we've considered. 14:3. Same sort of stuff. We speak after we've considered and after we've listened. We also speak when it's appropriate. Proverbs 15:23. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply. How good is a timely word? We speak when it's appropriate. You know those, you ever have one of those moments where somebody said something into your life and they didn't know the fullness of what they were saying? That you needed to hear what it was at that precise moment. We should be a people like that. They don't give replies when they're not wanted, when they're not ready, but when it's appropriate. So we speak when we've considered, when we listen, when it's appropriate and apt, and we speak again and again, it says, not very often. We are to be a people that don't speak very often. You know, and actually there's power in that. You know, we have pulse planning meetings. In our pulse planning meetings, I speak a lot, all right? I'm not very good with silence in our pulse planning meetings. And there are a couple of people who don't speak very much. I can't see her, but oh no, she's gone out. Thank goodness. Right, so Rachel, okay? Rachel sits in our pulse planning meeting. She doesn't say very much. Okay, but when she says something, you listen. Because the frequency of her words, because she doesn't speak very often, when she says something, it carries extra weight, it carries extra power. And quite often when she says something, it's the thing we've been looking for. Not to say you don't do a good job, John, just saying. But but that, because she doesn't speak very often, she has extra power. And I believe we're to be a people that don't speak but very often. But when we do, people sit up and listen. Because we've thought about it, we considered it, because it's the appropriate time to speak. It's difficult. It's so difficult to imagine not speaking too much. But can you imagine if we were like that? Can you imagine if people came to us, came to the church, not because they thought they were going to get preached at and spoken to again and again and again, but because the words, the few words we spoke were like gold. So why? Why do we speak? We've done the what, we've done the how, we've done the who, we've done the when. Why? We are seriously going to get through these really quick. We speak to encourage, Proverbs 12:25. We speak to soothe, Proverbs 15, verse 4. We speak to spread knowledge, Proverbs 15, verse 7. We speak to promote instruction, Proverbs 16:23. We speak to bring healing, Proverbs 16:24. We speak to bring nourishment, Proverbs 10, verse 21. We speak to rebuke each other. I think that's key. We are charged with rebuking each other, not man on the street. We are charged with rebuking each other. And why? You know, these are the whys. This is why we speak, but why above it all is we speak out of love. We speak out of love. We speak out of love. We speak in love. We speak because of love. That is what all of our speech should just be dripping with. You know, if we turn to Proverbs 16:24, there's this wonderful picture. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I love that picture that words could be like a honeycomb. I got a chance to actually have a honeycomb this summer. And if you've ever had one or ever picked one up, they're just absolutely, as you might expect, they're covered in honey. Like, as you pick it up, it just goes everywhere. There's so much of it. It's all over it. It gets everywhere. You find weeks afterwards, you're still picking sticky honey off yourself. You know, it's... Oh, maybe don't wash too much. But it's... Imagine our words were like that. Imagine our words were always said out of love, and they were just dripping with love, just oozing off of it, so that anyone that comes near us, whether their friend or foe or whoever comes near us, when we speak, these words are just dripping with love. Just everything we say, it comes from a place of love. It speaks of love. It's kind. It's gracious. It's gentle. It's honest. And it just speaks of a love that nobody can understand, because it's His love. Can you just imagine if we spoke like that? If every conversation we had out there in here was just dripping with the love that God has for us. And it'd be awesome. This stuff is tough. You know, we've been through it all, and there's so much more I could have said, and I've probably gone on too long already. And I realise, you know, looking at this has been a hard week, because I realise I speak too much. I realise I don't listen well. I realise that the fruit of my mouth reveals a heck of a lot about the state of my heart. I feel like I often don't speak out of love. But I feel like tomorrow I might do better. I think it'd probably be foolish to say anything else. Let's just pray. Lord God, we thank You for the love that You have for us. We thank You that Your love is so strong for us that You don't want to leave us in the state we're in. That You want us to improve the way we speak for our benefit and for those around us. Lord, help us. Please help us to speak the way You would want us to speak. To listen the way You would want us to listen. To know how to speak. To know what to speak. To know why we speak. And Lord, to know when to speak. Lord, we pray the words of our mouth would be pleasing to You. Amen.